Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Y'all, this is a special episode of Reality Gaze. We have, this is our first of the Love After Lockup multiverse. This is our first interview, and how appropriate is with one of our favorite couples, Justine and Michael. Hello.
Yay.
Hello, 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 everyone. How are you guys doing?
Thank you for having us.
Otherwise known as Jujubee and Montana Mills.
I have to say, I'm so gay that when you called her Jujubee, that's one of my favorite drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. And I was like, Montana Mills watches Drag Race? I got so excited. And then Jake had to explain it to me.
I had to gay-splain it.
And thank y'all for being here today. We know that y'all are very busy building your little empire. And so we've got some questions that we want to know, and some of our listeners. But just first of all, just kind of how has because I don't know if people when I talk about Love After Lockup, I think it's like an underground show that people don't talk about, but so many people are watching it. So was that surprising to you how people kind of came out of the woodwork to you?
Yes, actually, we were just out over the weekend and there were so many people that came up to me. So many women that just were coming out of the woodwork, rubbing my stomach. I was like, whoa, who are all these people? Just like out of nowhere. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize how many people really followed the show and were able to pick me out of out of the crowd. It was pretty wild.
It's a sleeper hit. And you don't imagine a show that comes on Friday night at 9 is going to, but the show has a huge, huge following. We were introduced to it, and I started watching it last season, or a couple seasons ago, and it was just like, this is the most compelling thing I've ever seen.
It's our favorite reality show we cover.
And
it's crazy.
I just have to say, before going on the show, had you really seen it before? Did you know kind of what you were in for? Or
I had no idea. I had no idea until he kind of brought the whole idea of it to me. And then I was like, okay, let me just like watch an episode or something so I can see what I could potentially be getting myself into. And as soon as I seen it, I was like, oh, I'm definitely.
By the time I called in the morning, she'd been watched seasons, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like,
I had already filled out the application, and they had literally got back to me the next day.
Like, if you watch season two with Clint, you're like, I'm not going to look that crazy.
No.
Unless it's hard. So, Michael, you brought it to Justine.
Yeah, I brought it to her attention because my cellmate at the time, very good dude, he came in from a phone call, and he was like, hey, I was just talking to my girl April, and she said that you guys, you know, she was telling me about Love After Lockup. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's her favorite show. That you and Justine should go on the show. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what is this about? Like, I never knew about the show. So when I called and I told her, she did her research. She called, when I called again, she was like, hey, babe, it's a beautiful show. This. She started giving me all the tea. And then I was like, hey, you know, fill out an application. She's like, oh, I already did. So I'm like, oh, you did? And then she's like, yeah, they got back to me already. So I thought she was joking. I'm like, yeah, they didn't get back to you. She's like, no, they did.
No, they did.
Where we have an interview on Friday, I think it was, no? And I'm like, holy shit. So yeah, it was crazy.
I wanna ask a question just because we kind of know the backstory a little bit, is that you were, Justine, you were working with Michael's mom.
Yes.
And I said, the question is, we know that she kind of fixed you up. Did she just say, so I've got this son in prison. Do you want to date him?
Like, how did that work?
No. Okay. I've got to know how that worked.
So at that time, I was dating. I was, you know, going through a divorce and I was dating. And her and I had just built like such a great friendship that every day when I would come into work, she'd be like, so how did it go? I'd be like, oh. It was horrible. It was fucking another horror show. So after me coming in, you know, I just couldn't take it anymore. I actually was crying at work and she came up to me. She's like, what's the matter? And I was like, I can't find anybody. There's nobody out there for me. And then she ended up saying, oh, you know, just in regular conversation. Oh, you know, my son. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, cause we had been talking and she never mentioned him.
Right.
She actually had mentioned his kids. I didn't know they were his kids, but she mentioned the grandkids, her daughter, her other son, totally left him out. Completely for months. Yeah. And so then once she did mention him, you know, she told me his name. She asked me if I knew him because he was pretty well known in Rhode Island. And I said, I have no clue who you're talking about. So I went and I did my research and I was like, ooh, hello. Same reaction you probably had.
Yeah. So I gotta say
the next day and I was like all gun ho for it. And so that's when she told me he was in jail and that whole thing. And I was like, well, have you seen your son? That's not gonna stop me.
And you're
so
like,
I just went for it.
And so you just probably started talking. And then when you decided to go for your first kind of date where you like met in person, you're like, I'm getting dolled up to go to prison. And
dolled up, huh? He says it too.
Yeah.
She's like, you're so old.
I hate
every time
he
says,
up.
I'm like, damn, baby, you look all dolled
up. No, I am 88 years old. So I say thing old expressions. I call a car a jalopy.
But that reminds me, like, I will say, like, you both seemed, especially you, Michael, like a bit of an old soul. And I bring that up because, like, people are fucking crazy on this show sometimes. And whether it's dealing with whatever they're dealing with, but we've noticed, like, what our listeners have responded to a lot is they say, we've never seen anyone, I use the word fight or disagree, more adult than anyone we've seen on Love After Lockup. Like, have you
your conflict resolution skills are
like,
high.
Literally. and we bring that up because we don't see this we do 90 Day Fiance. Like, we don't see this a lot in couples.
No.
Like, have you both had a lot of therapy or like just you both have a lot of emotional intelligence? And the way just on this last episode, when you kind of talked about like telling your mother about the pregnancy and you both were upset at one another, but you had this great adult conversation, or like Justine, like with your daughter, like explaining to her you're not going to be replaced. We don't see this a lot on this show.
Yeah.
Like, where did you both develop that?
I think for me, I think it comes from a past where nobody was like that with me, where there wasn't that kind of conversation and emotional intelligence, as you put it. So for me, I wanted to do something different. It's been a long journey. I've worked really hard to, you know, be different than how I was brought up and the things that I've seen or heard. So that's kind of why I am the way I am with my children and the way I try to be with my partner as well.
Yeah. No, kudos, because I just watch you guys and I'm like, they're actually talking like adults instead of fighting like four-year-olds.
And to say that, not to throw shade at your family, Michael, but your family we've seen doesn't talk like that. So was that something you as well? Like, did you work on that with Justine, or is it something you developed on your own?
Well, I mean, being in prison, I think you have a lot of self-reflection. So you start to notice things that you've done in the past and how to resolve them better. How to, you know, be more grown about things instead of, like you said, childish. So, you know, why would we, after all the time lost too, I just came home. Last thing I want to do is be mad at her. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying every single moment with this woman. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be, if there's a disagreement, if there's something you don't like, we talk about it. Come on, tell me. Because moving forward, I don't need you to have that resentment. I don't need you to have that animosity because you should have told me back then.
Right.
So, you know, I feel like, When you voice your opinion, especially with your partner, and you're transparent, that's the key, transparency, then you're able to have that person feel like, well, I can be transparent too. And now we can work to understand each other better. Like, okay, well, that's, you don't like that? I'm sorry. I wasn't looking at it like that. You know, I'll do better next time. You, the same thing, you know?
But it took work. You know, we've been together for some years now, and we didn't start off that way. We had to really get to know how to not only communicate with each other, but how to disagree and argue with each other and do it in the right way. So, you know, we've learned
fight with
that.
Love.
We've learned that along the
fight
way.
Fight with love. That's my
only, I love that. I love
fight
that.
With love. I mean, when you're fighting with someone, you know, remember, being upset is an emotion. It will pass. Mm. But what you do in that moment could be permanent. So remember deep. That it's an emotion right now. That's not, I know that's not how I'm going to feel later. So why don't I bring the emotion that I know I feel for her and involve it in this moment?
Yeah.
That's
you
lovely.
Get what I'm saying?
Yes.
I feel like y'all could be the couples therapist for other couples. Like, this we just finished, you know, Love After Lockup, where we're about to start the premiere of Life After Lockup, but we've got to ask you, we kind of want to play a little segment called Are They Crazy in Love or Are They Just Crazy? We want to get you, we want to get your opinion on some of the couples that, and some of them are going to be on Life After Lockup.
Yeah.
I think you have a list, Jake, that you want to.
Yeah, I do. Let's start. So it's either crazy in love or just crazy. In other words, do you think they'll make it? Do you think they've got some there? Let's start out with Monique and Derek.
Crazy. They just damn near crazy. They're crazy.
Oh, I agree.
That was a quick answer. I agree with that too.
This is from on your season, your business. Travis and Ashley.
We know they're broken up, but what did y'all think?
They are broken up.
Crazy.
You think so?
Like, do y'all, I got to ask y'all this. I felt
like, looked at him.
Like, okay, so for Michael, I keep wanting to call you Montana. Michael, Montana, what? Where were we when we saw Montana Mills rap the first time? I had to change my panties. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, I mean, girl. But anyway, so, but we feel like Ashley, a lot of people think that the person coming out of prison, they're like, he or she's conning them. And we're like, no, bitch. Ashley,
not on Love After Lockup.
Ashley fucking conned Travis.
She catfished him.
What do y'all think about that?
Yeah. You know, I think with Ashley, like you said, she's just coming out of prison. And, you know, I don't know. I think the dude is cool, no? I mean.
Yeah, he seems cool.
Yeah,
he seems cool. You know what I mean? And he looks like he got his shit together. So, you know, I don't know. To be honest with you, it's funny there, but I can tell that he really cares. But she might just not. I don't know. She might not just appreciate him as much. You know what I mean?
What about Eris and Cameron, or as Cameron says, Eris and Cameron?
I think they're in love.
I think that Eris is in love. I think Cameron, he's crazy. That's what I think. I think that's a good one. Like Eris, personally.
This is such a worldview side by side of these two. And then finally, Nathan and Skylar.
They crazy.
And also, a follow-up question. Are you both creeped out by the dolls in his grandmother's house that they live in?
I'm creeped out by a lot of stuff.
I mean, you know, like I tell all the time, people, they express themselves through certain things. You know, maybe that was her way of like expressing herself to all the dolls.
Grandma.
And stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I wouldn't want to be around that many dolls. And stuff.
It was creepy.
Boils back down to crazy.
Yeah. I have another a question for
sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free.
so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
I have a question for Michael. I basically said you're going, it's the show last season showed you going to the studio. And I have a question. Is the studio you're in located in Jacob's mom's house in his attic bedroom?
No, it's actually.
And if so, did his mom bring you Totino pizza rolls?
No. So Jake's studio is pretty actually put together. You know what I mean? He has like nice equipment and stuff. But it's in his house. That's his house, and he just converted the attic into that. You know what I mean?
He just looks so young, though. It literally looked like he was 14.
No, he is. Listen, Jake is young, but he's very smart, very intelligent. He's very intelligent.
He knows a lot, especially about the music.
About the music, he is like a guru. And when it comes to like his appreciation for the music, it's just magical. So I mean, I've been working with Jake ever since. Like I'm so glad the network put us together because I've been working with Jake ever since, and he's been a blessing in my life.
And he is extremely educated as well. Isn't he going for his master's through Berkeley?
Good for him.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a great school of music, too.
We were just so shocked that he was young, and we saw his mom going, Jacob, are you done?
You know, the thing is, too, we have a lot of values that we share. He's the father of three.
Oh, wow.
And he's very connected with his wife and his kids, and I like to be around couples like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want to be around.
When I go over there, you know, his wife and myself, we'll sit, we'll chat, we text. So it's been a really good connection.
The dynamic is good.
And with the music that we want to talk about that too. Like they talked a little bit about this on this last season. I know that, you know, because a lot of this new season's going to be about like, I mean, y'all got 7/8 kids. I mean, you've got to provide. And so, with, you know, your music career, what do you think has been like, it's a different industry than when you went into prison. So what is, do you think has been like one of the biggest things you've had to pivot on, at this?
Right now it's TikTok. The biggest thing I had to pivot on is TikTok. I can't dance. I'm 6'3". my hips coming out of place now. I'm old as shit.
If you need some fly girls named Maddie and Poodle,
we'll be behind you.
Yeah, but no, you know, it's just learning how the music now is being used in reels and short YouTube shorts, and so many things change so fast that I feel like I honestly feel so left out. And little by little, as I reintegrate myself into society, I start to take a little bit from here, and starting to put it together. You know what I mean?
That's learning a lot.
That's great.
Especially with the apps and the phones and all these things. They were not the same some years ago. So,
right.
Yeah.
So you'll get it. It is a process. So Justine, you guys are expecting, I question, have you decided on a name, and is it Chad?
It is Chad. Yes, we have decided.
Okay, great.
We have a name for each gender. We're not sure of the gender, but the names, they're great.
That's exciting. I also have one more question. I wrote down, I love your mom and how no nonsense she is. And and her kind of distinctive Jersey accent, as I say. And yeah. I say, why don't you have that? Is it
me?
Just, yeah.
No, it's not as strong.
Listen, no, it's not
as strong, but it's there.
I think the only thing that saved me was the fact that I have been out of Rhode Island for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
So I've picked up a little bit of the whole Pennsylvania thing.
Yeah.
But when I go back home,
Talking like your mother.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you need to park the car right there by the car.
Start talking like your mother.
Huh?
Start talking like your mother.
Listen, you know, but there's still a lot of words that I say that sound ridiculous. But that's just where I'm from. It's yogurt.
But your mother, literally, you can hear when your mother talks, you can hear like the seagulls in her voice. It's like so close.
Yep. It's
We love her. I mean, she reminds me of my grandma Hazel. She does not fuck around.
And she pulls faces. Your mother, the camera would catch your mother in a face that's just like, oh.
Yeah, that's my mom.
She does it in real life, though.
That is literally her.
It's like
her.
She thinks the emotion, and she just.
She can't. Like, no poker face.
Yes. Like
I have that same issue, I've realized. I really think I'm a lot like her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of times those are the biggest disagreements when we were actually like people who we fight with.
Mm. Yeah, Justine, you don't bullshit. Do you? How has the relationship been with Michael side of the family? Because I know kind of where we left it in this last season and what we're going, are we going to see more of that in this new season of what's going on with them?
Yes. Yes. You'll definitely see some interactions between myself and my mother-in-law, as well as both my sister-in-laws and my stepchildren. So yeah, definitely. But I would say we're moving towards a very positive place. I'm Good. Very optimistic about everything.
Good. Good. I also have to say, Michael, it's really, we oftentimes see, especially when you have their families where the son is just like, oh, I love my son. He's, you know, and you sometimes will see the son throw the wife under the bus for, we did not see you do that. You're like, what you can say in front of my wife, you're going to say in front
of
me.
That was great. Like, don't talk in Spanish. It was great.
She has a bad habit of doing that. And I understand, you know, sometimes she doesn't do it because she's trying to be sneaky. It's her first language.
Yeah.
So when she wants to talk to me, and you know, Spanish people talk really fast, she wants to talk in her native tongue because it's going to come out quicker and she's not searching for the words in English.
Right.
But I feel like it's so rude, especially when you're around someone who doesn't understand the language, to go from speaking English and then start speaking Spanish. The first thing you're going to think, they're saying something that they don't want me to know.
Especially in that moment where I could clearly see that, you know, I could read the room. I knew where we were going.
Like,
so,
no, I didn't. I wasn't.
Yeah, a bitch can read a face. I can read a face.
I have to stand by my wife at all times. Like, we are a unit. So whether I disagree with how she's acting or whatever, I'm going to back her up until we're alone. And then we say, listen, you know, that was out of pocket, or vice versa. You know, and we would discuss how we would handle a situation like that moving forward in the future.
Yeah.
But if I sit there and be like, well, yo, don't talk to my mom like that or something, like, you know, my mom is being disrespectful right now. That's not cool. You know, you're the one wrong. This is who I'm standing with. And, you know, you need to chill. So at the end of the day, I feel like men have to be like that more with their wives. You know,
it's a great boundary to set. One other question. This is more about, we often, when people from Love After Lockup or other reality shows, they often are interviewed after, they're always saying, I wish you would have seen this moment. I wish you would have seen this moment. Is there anything during filming or any moment that you guys said, I wish that could have been on the show, or I wish the audience could have seen this?
I do. Yes.
Yeah.
We actually, what I was thinking was our first date.
Yes.
Our first date was filmed. He did like a little rap for me at the table. It was really sweet. We looked really good. And they cut that out. It was actually right after the whole cigar shop take your ring off ordeal.
Yeah.
We went on our first date after. And that didn't make it in.
It happens because they've got so much footage and they got to kind of tell a story from it. And they're always, if you know editors, they're always saying, God, that's the Sophie's Choice. That's what we don't have. We only have 10 episodes.
And going forward on this season, with the career as being focused, like Justine, like how are So yeah, we're figuring out TikTok. We're figuring out the social media. And I mean, we're thirsty, but we're not coming for him. But what, how are we talking about? Because these ladies that are going to come in DMs, and it's this line, because people are public persona, you know, how are you, is that going to be on the season of how you navigate? Because I know you trust him, but it's more of like how, yeah, that's, it's such a hard new thing for people to really grasp.
Well, I think first off, Mike and I have a very like open type relationship where we don't have passcodes on our phones. I have access to his Instagram all the time, vice versa. He goes in my, I think he has my account on his phone. Like, we don't have anything to hide. But I will say, I'm pleasantly surprised at the women thus far, because they have actually been very respectful of our relationship. A lot of the DMs that we get are all about how they love our relationship, and you know, they love us together and they respect us very much. So I haven't really had to deal with any of that as of yet. But you know, like, as the career takes off more, that there will be those kind of things. But you know, he comes home to me every night. He takes me everywhere. So I mean, they're not gonna get to him without getting right to me first. So.
The ones that do like slither in there, we just laugh. You know what yeah I mean? Because it's like, you're asking me if I'm single. Like, there's clearly 1,000 pictures of my wife on the Instagram.
Too, like, I get a lot of that too, you know, even though I'm not like the rapper, but you would think,
but
that
girl, when... you're cute.
Pretty,
you're really beautiful.
Thank you. But you know, me being pregnant and you see my husband, you would think that
you
would be
think
like a no-go, but no.
No,
I mean, sometimes I get a woman sending me a picture of her titties and I'm like, honey, I'm gay as hell.
Honey, did you put hers all out of my mouth?
Yes. I mean, literally, there's just a picture of me with glitter all over me. Come on.
We're gonna wrap up soon, but we just have a couple of a little follow-up questions. One, if these are like you little cutesy questions, what is your favorite thing about the other?
Go first.
All right. Well, I love how Justine caters to me. Like, she's like so nurturing, and like, I just feel like if they were like rose petals to be put all over the floor, she would have done it, because she just caters to all my needs, and she's very receptive to like me basically like being a newborn to the world, because I was gone for so long.
That's a great way to describe
that. She has a lot of patience. She has a lot of patience, and she's there for me, man. So I love that about her.
That's awesome.
My favorite thing, like, after I got past like the smile and everything like that, because that was like my favorite.
It's a good
thing
smile, yeah.
For the absolute longest. Now that he's home, it's definitely the way he is with my children. He's stepped in. He's been great with them. I can count on him. He's taught my boys a lot. He's brought a lot of positive discipline into the house that we for sure needed. And it's been great. You know, when my kids have an activity, he's there. He's volunteering for baseball, because I just signed him up yesterday. And he's super excited about all those things. And my kids really, really, really needed that. And it's been really great. And I'm happy that he does that for them.
Love that. Oh. And kind of a follow-up question here. And it's our last question, I think we'll have time for. And a lot of people, this is mostly for you, Michael, and for both of you, really. A lot of people aren't able to adjust to life after being incarcerated. And what is the hardest thing for you to get used to, that you've had to get used to, and what helped you cope with it?
Well, the hardest thing that I had to get used to was sleeping with her, because I slept alone for so long on a yoga mat that it was like I learned to kind of stay still in that one space and not move around and stuff. And now that I'm in the bed, I'm all over it.
Yeah, he's adjusted well at this point.
At this point, I'm cool.
Man, like,
but
it's crazy.
That was in the beginning. It was the hardest thing for me, because like in prison, the minute you hear something, the minute you feel something, you're like on go. You're alert. You jump. You jerk.
Yeah.
Anytime she would move or touch me, I'm jumping. I'm you know.
Those first couple nights were
it was
difficult.
Rough because, like, I wasn't used to it.
And we had to get up and go look around, like, the house, you know, just because, you know, it's just something.
It's a PTSD.
It's exactly what it is. But I feel like we work through that really good together, and I feel like he's on his way.
What about you? What was the hardest thing adjusting to?
Sex.
Because he was ready.
I went for so long without it. I was 3.5 years that I was, you know.
Whoa.
So Yes.
Three. Hey, she really did it too. Listen, it got to the point where we drove to the lie detector specialist and everything. She was willing to take a lie detector test to prove that no one was in that coochie. And I was like, no, we don't got to do that.
I was very, very, very faithful.
We don't got to do that.
Very faithful.
I'd have to bribe the lie detector guy.
That's a big adjustment, though, you know.
Yeah.
A big adjustment.
We know, girl. Believe me, we know.
Y'all
heard it here first, y'all. Montana News.
Reality Guys exclusive.
Oh my God, you're crazy.
Anyway,
well, that's a great note to end.
We love you guys. We wish you a lot of success. I'm so excited that we got to talk to you. And I can't wait to see you on the next season of Life After Lockup.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a good season.
You guys have
we'll
been
come
awesome.
Back and talk
thank
to you soon.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.